Dear deceased close friends came forward to clasp my hand. But all these phenomena came to an end when the movie screen darkened again and the podium stopped shining. Now we will go back to your previous lives, Zha's voice was heard. We will see if you have evolved over the millennia. I had been a monk in the 14th century and a gentleman with a powdered wig in a Swedish castle in the 18th century. I had been a fisherman in the Greek islands, where I sailed to meet death in an angry surge. I had been a Roman nobleman in the time of Jesus and a soldier in a poor Finland. For each life that was shown to me, the memory thereof immediately came back. I felt characterized by these lives, but underneath it all lay the certainty that I was me. The changes were of external nature, but the innermost Johan Fridolf Johansson from, alias Jan Fridegaard, was there all the time below the surface, fumbling, seeking, longing, and filled with his own special passion for justice. If I was a hunter, I was hunting injustices and duplicity. If I was a gentleman, I was hunting ladies. Jan was there all the time, although I had a thousand faces. It was a voyage on the sea of life that the author Jan even in his wildest dreams would not have imagined. Perhaps, however, my subconscious mind breezed forward occasional images of sweat and tears, or of strength and courage, even in my last life on Earth. I had already decided firmly to stay where I was. I felt that I had done my share on Earth. I had seen everything, experienced everything. To return to Earth would only be a repeat of the old, an overweight duck on a smooth and melancholy lake. Oh no, up here it was much more exciting. Oh, so you want to stay here, Jan? And not go back to your dark green forests and your life as an author in the professed light of the city? Zha looked amused at me and added, look here. This is an image of today's Stockholm. Imagine how it would be to live there. I looked in eager expectation for the restaurants Hasselbacken and Bellman's Row to emerge in all their splendor, together with Opera Cloran and Basil Eitrason. Maybe I would follow a stroll with my eyes on the boulevard Strandvägen or Hamngatan up to the department store NK? Perhaps I would be allowed to make a trip to Haga and walk for a while among the old houses in Högerlund? But what did I see? The fright over the views that were shown literally made my hair stand on end. Was this our good old Stockholm, the city of Bellman and Evertorp, with the alleys of Old Town and the twinkling heights of the south side of town in quiet evening sun? There was chaos. There was violence, bustle, rush, and rough-mannered fellows who snatched handbags from old ladies and then kicked them. I saw children who hit children, children who couldn't manage to be children anymore. I saw foreign images of drugs and boozing. Strangers, alienation, an inverted inner city completely without the old, friendly, warm atmosphere. Bawling and fighting everywhere. I did not want to see any more. I hid my face in my hands. Desire to buy, covetousness, struggle for power and alienation. It was a future I never again wanted to see. Don't criticize, Zha exhorted. The cities are what time has made them to be. Nobody forces you back to that future. You still have your free will. I don't know if I sat a few hours or several days in the mountain room with the movie screen and the holograms. Everything that took place moved in a three-dimensional reality mixed with unreality. To be sure, time does not exist here. So when we were finished we stood up as easily as if the performance had only lasted an hour. Zha asked me if I regretted anything from my lives. How could I? I answered. All of it was a matter of development. I learned something all the time. But I have learned far from everything. Now I want to know more. I accept your answer, my friendly teacher said. You are ready to proceed if you want to. Is everyone who passes away allowed to look at their Akashic records? I asked. Certainly, Zha answered. We have movie theaters like this one in several places. Some people get severely shocked by their Akashic records, because their memories return with every life they look at, many times unprocessed experiences, and it may be difficult things for them to relive. You did well because of your clear perception of your own self, which you have analyzed in book after book. but there are many roads to choose from after the records, and if you want to proceed, then follow me. Are you ready? Asked Tsar. You have to be prepared for both pleasant and less enjoyable meetings. The main character here is the truth that has followed you through thousands of years. The truth about the country bumpkin Jan, I chuckled. Go ahead. I know for sure what a rogue and rascal I have been. Tsar gave me a peculiar look. Well, we do know that you like that rogue and rascal, he said. To like oneself is an important quality for one who creates. How else do you think you would have become such an appreciated author? Soon we will see if Jan, the human, is a reflection of Jan the author, or vice versa. We will see what you regret and what you will forgive in yourself. I was just about to give him a sharp retort of what I regretted the most, something about beautiful women and seizing the opportunity, when suddenly the movie screen darkened. There was lightning and thunder, the rain was lashing over us in there inside the mountain room, but we did not get wet. We were sitting dry-shod in an unparalleled storm. The moist mountain walls were lit up by the flashes, and the granular surface of the walls sparkled as if it was sprinkled with diamonds. Raise your consciousness, Tsar ordered, and put his hand over mine. Suddenly I felt how my earthly thoughts disappeared and my whole inner self experienced a euphoric feeling of light and radiant colors, a happiness so great that tears of joy rolled down my cheeks. The storm had ceased and I saw the meadows and the forests of my childhood on the movie screen. I saw my mother giving birth to me and my father who was standing next to her chewing his mustache, proud and scared. Proud to have yet another son, but scared that my mother's strengths would diminish. But everything went well. I saw myself grow up, my life as a man with his own family, wife, son, and daughter. I cried, felt ashamed, rejoiced, boasted of the good things in life, was appalled at the dark sides, happy to have come through them not taking them too seriously. What a life! I moaned during the breaks of laughter and tears. Can you be forgiven such folly? Can you forget such injuries? Can you manage to proceed with that burden on your frail back? Your back is strong, Jan, answered Tsar. Now take your opportunity to say hello, because the meetings will be very short. My mother, my father, and my beloved little sister were standing on the podium. They were as ethereal as I was, but when I rushed over to hug them, their bodies felt warm and substantial. All the time I had thought that I and everyone else were talking in the usual way. Not until now did it dawn on me in my poor head, nobody was moving their mouths, neither Tsar, the angel, father, mother, nor my sister. How about me? I was talking feverishly with my beloveds, but when I put my finger against my mouth, my lips weren't moving. This was a shock. But when I saw the faces of my beloveds, I realized that they, too, had made the same remarkable discovery. At first I felt like a ventriloquist, but when my father laughed his boisterous laugh without making any noise, I understood that this new body did not work in the same way as the old, worn-out one. Unfortunately, the secure, well-known figures disappeared before I even had time to finish thinking, but new ones arrived. Human after human with more or less familiar faces from my life on Earth made their appearance on the podium. Some of them scolded me and then I enjoyed uncontrollably the fact that their mouths did not move. Wrongs, fights, and insolences filed past. Dear deceased close friends came forward to clasp my hand. But all these phenomena came to an end when the movie screen darkened again and the podium stopped shining. Now we will go back to your previous lives, Tsar's voice was heard. We will see if you have evolved over the millennia. I had been a monk in the 14th century. And a gentleman with a powdered wig in a Swedish castle in the 18th century. I had been a fisherman in the Greek islands, where I sailed to meet death in an angry surge. I had been a Roman nobleman in the time of Jesus and a soldier in a poor Finland. For each life that was shown to me, the memory thereof immediately came back. I felt characterized by these lives, but underneath it all lay the certainty that I was me. the changes were of external nature. But the innermost Johan Fridolf Johansson from, alias Jan Fridegaard, was there all the time below the surface, fumbling, seeking, longing, and filled with his own special passion for justice. If I was a hunter, I was hunting injustices and duplicity. If I was a gentleman, I was hunting ladies. Jan was there all the time, although I had a thousand faces. It was a voyage on the sea of life that the author Jan even in his wildest dreams would not have imagined. Perhaps, however, my subconscious mind breezed forward occasional images of sweat and tears, or of strength and courage, even in my last life on Earth. I had already decided firmly to stay where I was. I felt that I had done my share on Earth. I had seen everything, experienced everything. To return to Earth would only be a repeat of the old, an overweight duck on a smooth and melancholy lake. Oh no, up here it was much more exciting. Oh, so you want to stay here, Jan? And not go back to your dark green forests and your life as an author in the professed light of the city? Tsar looked amused at me and added, look here. This is an image of today's Stockholm. Imagine how it would be to live there. I looked in eager expectation for the restaurants Hasselbacken and Bellman's Row to emerge in all their splendor, together with Opera Cloran and Basil Eitrason. Maybe I would follow a stroll with my eyes on the Boulevard Strandvägen or Hamngatan up to the department store NK? Perhaps I would be allowed to make a trip to Haga and walk for a while among the old houses in Högerland? But what did I see? The fright over the views that were shown literally made my hair stand on end. Was this our good old Stockholm, the city of Bellman and Evertorp, with the alleys of Old Town and the twinkling heights of the south side of town in quiet evening sun? There was chaos. There was violence, bustle, rush, and rough-mannered fellows who snatched handbags from old ladies and then kicked them. I saw children who hit children, children who couldn't manage to be children anymore. I saw foreign images of drugs and boozing. Strangers, alienation, an inverted inner city completely without the old, friendly, warm atmosphere. Bawling and fighting everywhere. I did not want to see any more. I hid my face in my hands. Desire to buy, covetousness, struggle for power and alienation. It was a future I never again wanted to see. Don't criticize. Tsar exhorted. The cities are what time has made them to be. Nobody forces you back to that future. You still have your free will. I don't know if I sat a few hours or several days in the mountain room with the movie screen and the holograms. Everything that took place moved in a three-dimensional reality mixed with unreality. To be sure, time does not exist here, so when we were finished we stood up as easily as if the performance had only lasted an hour. Tsar asked me if I regretted anything from my lives. How could I? I answered. All of it was a matter of development. I learned something all the time. But I have learned far from everything. Now I want to know more. I accept your answer, my friendly teacher said. You are ready to proceed if you want to. Is everyone who passes away allowed to look at their Akashic records? I asked. Certainly, Tsar answered. We have movie theaters like this one in several places. Some people get severely shocked by their Akashic records, because their memories return with every life they look at, many times unprocessed experiences, and it may be difficult things for them to relive. You did well because of your clear perception of your own self, which you have analyzed in book after book. But there are many roads to choose from after the records, and if you want to proceed, then follow me. Chapter 3. The Process of Creation. With light feet we left the mountain room and walked in a long passage illuminated by daylight. I don't know for how long we walked side by side, pleasantly chatting, but suddenly the passage came to an end. We came out in a blinding light that first prevented me from seeing the surroundings. I shaded my eyes with my arm and then I discovered a being in front of us. I couldn't see if it was a man or a woman. But it was a radiant being. I was filled with reverence and fell on my knees. Perhaps it was an archangel? The being lifted me up with a friendly smile and I had a feeling that it was a woman. She had long hair shot with red. Her eyes were deep and dark, and she radiated warmth and joy. "Welcome, Jan," she said with a smile. "I am not an archangel, but rather an angel and your teacher. My name is Sharla, and together with Zar I will teach you the ancient wisdom and show you who you are and where you come from. The thirst for knowledge that you experienced already on Earth has brought you to us and to the Angels' School." Accordingly, this lovely being was a woman, and in the bargain my future teacher. Those were lessons to long for. But where was the school?
"Here,"
answered Zar and threw his arms about. "You have just passed a tunnel to the angelic realm. From here you are going to experience your origin." The blinding light had faded, and I looked around. Again I found myself in a kind of movie theater with three walls. The fourth wall was open, and I caught a glimpse of a beautiful garden outside. Images started to appear on the empty walls. Human figures floated out of one wall and into another. These figures were dressed in very old-fashioned clothes, and they were mostly reminiscent of Native Americans. At first the whole scene appeared to be a confused fluttering of beings with or without faces. Yet there was a certain rhythm to it all. Suddenly all of it became blacked out. "You saw the first humans on their way to Earth," Sharla explained. "The original inhabitants came from another planet. The knowledge that they conveyed at that time is still kept in the interior of the Earth, but so far it has not been the right time to introduce it to humanity. At the end of the 20th century the truth will be so necessary for humans that something or someone has to convey it to them, before the whole globe is blown up by their lack of wisdom."
"I can imagine that," I interjected gloomily. "The pollution of Earth had already begun when I passed away at the end of the 1960s. Both the inner and the outer pollution. What can you do about it?
Do you want Earth to perish?"
"Of course not," the confident voice of Zar answered. "We work at high pressure to inform the inhabitants of Earth, and quite a few have started to listen. You belong to the ones who will be trained to have contact with an Earth dweller who can pass on this message. But for this task you have to undergo a lot of training, tests, and initiations."
"I don't know if I'm good enough for that," I muttered. "Shall I have contact with someone on Earth? I would rather be spared that."
"You are going to inspire a woman on Earth, who via your authorship combined with her own and her mediumship, will convey the truth to humans," explained Sharla.
"Do I have a good publisher up my sleeve, too?" I joked.
"We will try to arrange that," Zar smiled.
"So in other words, you will remain an author even here. Does it appeal to you?"
"It's not too bad," I replied mockingly. "If the lady in question is quick on the uptake and moreover behaves decently and appreciates my advice, it might work out."
"Will I see more of the Earth's first inhabitants?" I continued.
"Eventually," Zar answered. "But first you will experience something completely different. You, yourself, will take part at the birth of Earth. You are as old as we are, billions of years. Let our consciousness be born together on a journey on angels' wings. Let our souls wake up in the infinite sea of oneness of the Great Spirit. You will experience what few human souls have seen. Jilith will bring us to the goal on her great wings. She has the gift to take shape as required, and we call upon her, now." I thought, a bit silly, that this was one better than the spiritual seances I had attended in my physical body. But before I had time to finish my thought my guardian angel appeared, now as a giant woman, and rolled me into one of her wings. Both my teachers were already sitting on the other wing. Before the macabre thought hit me that the dead man would embark on an adventure, we swept away straight through the wall and right into a kind of pulsating corridor. Where would we end up now? The answer came more swiftly than what I had expected. A door was opened in the corridor and Jilith flew out through it, straight out into outer space. Everything was blue air, midnight blue, clear air. There was no light, not the slightest ray of light. Yet I saw and I perceived. The wing where I sat unfolded, and before I had time to think, Sharla held up a mirror in front of my eyes. I saw nothing in the mirror, absolutely nothing. At first I got scared. Don't I have a face any longer? I was about to ask, as I recalled with regret the handsome soldier Jan who flirted with the girls on the open-air dance floor. But again I was on the wrong track of thinking, because it was extinguished, and I heard a voice whisper in my ear. Jan, you are a speck of dust in our universe. A speck of dust has no thoughts, but you have the privilege of taking in and understanding what your teachers convey to you. Now look around in your newly awakened consciousness. A little push, and I slid down the wing, as if on some chute. The whirling reality that I blew around in was a cosmos that resembled the night sky seen from our porch at home on a night without moon and stars. Of course, I did not think along those lines, I was only a newborn consciousness in a speck of dust on a dark blue night, where not even celestial bodies were to be seen. But there was a power of love in the making. And there were other, already finished universes. The speck of dust Jan knew nothing of this, but the dancing wind brought voices that sang the song of creation, even if I neither heard nor understood. Then the light came, and in it was the power of love. The infinite spirit that prevails over our universe had divided its power, so that it flowed through the indigo-colored darkness. The speck of dust Jan was pulled into the light and grew inside this living, creative, instilled light to an energy, a ray with a glimpse of a greater consciousness. But yet he was only very young energy. The radiating power of love had come to our universe to stay. A small breath from its glowing center was transformed into a tone, and the sound was born. The power of love divided itself and became dual, male and female, yin and yang. Particles were thrown out of the light and went out into space with a marvelous speed and force. Throughout eons of different evolutionary stages, they eventually formed stars and planets in our galaxy. At first came the invisible worlds. The breathing of love from this tremendous being started the creation. At first the invisible worlds were created. All of the visible, physical celestial bodies are in reality young. Even younger was I when I took a rest in my own energy stream while the highest consciousness was in the act of working with the process of creation. I was there in the light, and a remarkable scene was rolled up to my still dreaming consciousness. The invisible worlds were populated first. I was lying as an energy form, observing this unique act of creation. The dual characters of the infinite spirit only appeared as vague contours in the light. Since I also only was light energy, I could approach them, and then I perceived a thought that permeated their radiance. It was a beautiful thought that expressed a longing to populate the innermost light world with the same wonderful beauty that the highest spirit himself had brought to his universe. This divine beauty was to be reflected in all that was created. At first the seraphim were created in the innermost vicinity of the Godhead, see the cosmic map. The tone that sounded in the cosmos formed with its rings the most delightful beings. These beings became the servants of music, those who conduct the world of tones. It was a kind of mutual making, an origin of sound that eventually created the music of the spheres. The seraphim were slender and transparent. Their fair hair floated around like a glittering light in an air that had not yet any sun, wind, or rain. They were the souls of the sacred music. And their whole existence was all about expressing the countless faces of love in tones. After that I saw the whole angelic realm emerge before my astonished eyes, which were not yet eyes, but merely perceptions. I was fidgeting, shaking myself and trying to tell the universe that I soon wanted to be born. I wasn't satisfied with fluttering about on energy waves without a body, without being able to communicate. I, too, longed to be created. But it wasn't yet time for the energy waves. The angels got their special division in different realms. There were 7 Elohim and 7 archangels. To begin with, the Elohim were commissioned to govern planets and stars in the whole galaxy. The archangels became the creative order in the angelic realm. There are thousands of different groups of angels, so a strict organization is required there. The cherubim were the lightweights of joy. They were, and are, messengers between the stars. I saw them emerge and develop into continuously happy and rosy small beings who always were willing to share their positive gifts with others. For a long time I rested in the light from the paradisiacal surroundings of the angels without understanding what I wanted, because I yet had no unique soul, but only formed part of the oneness in the light. The fall of Lucifer. But there was a disturbance added in all this light energy. I only felt it as a cold draft in the love energy where I rested. But my teachers told me with voices that were thoughts, that were perceptions, that were sensations in the sea of light. We were characters in an eternal existence until the winds of change came riding, when the centuries started to become centuries and it was time for the birth of the physical creation. The following happened among the angels. One of the archangels, the one who was called the Light Bearer or Lucifer, became wrathful because he thought his power was too limited. He made demands, which were refused, because the prevailing order could be disturbed. In a fury, he left his position as an archangel and created his own kingdom. Many angels followed him, because he was greatly loved. They believed he had been expelled from the heavenly abodes. But his brothers and his father couldn't understand what suddenly was the matter with him. No one decided anything without the consent of the father. Why wasn't he satisfied with his fortunes to pass on the light, to nurture it, and to develop it? In the beginning, Lucifer was not evil, just haughty. He never planned to leave his father's house for good. His brothers were prepared to hug him lovingly when he came back. But neither he nor any of the angels that followed him returned. In Lucifer's new kingdom there was a kind of light eclipse, and out of it evil emerged. Slowly but steadily, creeps and wretches were created that should never have been allowed to exist, and at the head of them Lucifer created a leader. From the beginning it was a defiant game, but the leader became evil because Lucifer, as a result of his escape from the heavenly surroundings, had lost his gift to create in love. Love did not reach into his kingdom. The leader had horns like a goat, and he was called the Evil One or the Devil. He grew in power and strength, and soon he usurped power in Lucifer's kingdom. He imprisoned the former angel and put him in a castle on the outskirts of the kingdom, where he would sit to this day if his regret during thousands of years finally had not brought him back to the angels of light. Now he is forgiven, and he works at saving the earth. Nobody knows the roads of evil better than him, and therefore he is particularly suited to oppose it. Yin and Yang, duality and polarity. Since I, Jan, beyond the floating light energy had a soul that experienced all this as a repetition of life, I put questions to both my teachers. I could hear them and perceive their nearness, but not yet see them. I wondered how the angels were created from the beginning, if they had different genders or how they otherwise multiplied. With a soft laughter, Shayla's voice answered me, "You have experienced the first tone and keynote. At that time motion already existed in the universe, and in this motion we found ourselves as more and more conscious energies. From some of these energy rays or energy points, the Great Spirit created the angels. Exactly how it happened is impossible to know. He simply brought the ability to create from his own origin. Before human beings were created, the angels were just angels. Later they were divided into many different groups. Right from the beginning there were male and female angels, but also hermaphrodite beings. There must always exist two poles, yin and yang, since the Great Spirit is also dual. The duality and the polarity are included as laws in our cosmos. The love between all his creations is so strong that it unites them all, and the multiplication that takes place is not the same as the one man refers to with the words sexual act. A process of creation of unparalleled beauty takes place with the angels. Amid song, music, and colorful plays of light, the duals are united in such a way that a new angelic being is formed. The angels have, like humans, diversified gifts, and they are given their tasks according to their special talents. They themselves have built up the angelic realm from the beginning. When you get to see it, you will probably be amazed at its resemblance to Earth, both with regards to nature and settlements, although in clearer colors and lighter materials. The first humans, the people of the sun and the stars. But how were humans created?